Nice to see all of you with us this morning. It's good to be a part of our service this morning. Thanks so much for being here today. Exciting day, though. Things that are taking place here at church. Tomorrow morning, by this time, our cruise participants probably are going to be going right on to the boat right about this time tomorrow. But I need to let all of our cruise participants know that we're going to be having a special commissioning. I'm not going to ask you to come up front or anything else like that. Where you are, we'll just do a little thing right where you're sitting at the moment. We'll do that a little bit later on in our service because this is a cruise that does involve everybody. And so we want to make sure that we're that we send them off with God's blessings here as a congregation. And so we'll take care of that a little bit later on in our service for today. We also just want to remind people that the Congregational Assembly meeting is in the CLC just as soon as we can get done here and get everybody over next door. It is we only have two of those a year, and church is always going through some important things today, so please be a part of that. And hopefully it's not going to be a long meeting, but we'll get done the things that we need to get done today. So just a couple things. We've been talking about Name Tag Sunday. We got a couple more Sundays left on that. And of course, once we get past March, a person doesn't feel like, well, I don't have to wear this anymore. But we make it kind of a gimmick just to get people into the practice of wearing them again. It's always a good thing to do, no matter what the month is. Then finally, we've had a couple things. Since we're getting to the end of the month again, we remind you again that we're running out of time for you to direct your Thrivent Choice dollars for last year. Now, for this year, you got lots of time, but for last year, that has to be done by March 31st. We talked about that. With Easter coming up now, and boy, all of a sudden, Easter is not that far away. We've got an order blank in your service folder for the Easter lilies. And we also have got tickets being sold for the CIA breakfast, the Easter breakfast that's between our services on Easter Sunday. So we look forward to that. We hope that everybody is looking forward to that as we kind of come on. We also want to remember that we had a couple people. We had announced them on Wednesday night as having been hospitalized. Everybody that has been hospitalized, to our knowledge, is now released, and we're not aware of anybody else that is in the hospital. One thing I don't do a lot of, simply because, you know, some people would take it well, some maybe not so well, is when we call attention to visitors, but when we're dealing with somebody who's anything but a visitor, I got to call this person out. Joe Lidbaum just sat down in our midst here this morning. And it is great to have the wife of our former pastor in our midst for this morning. So, Joe, thanks for being here today. So, and that reminds us that we've got some special events that are coming up later on after Easter in the month of April that we want to get yourself ready for. All as a part of the celebration of our congregation's 60th anniversary. Okay, make sure that you fill out the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. Make sure that you let us know that you were here this morning with that. That is for both our members and our guests for this morning. Please stand as you are able. Our order of service today is from Divine Service Setting 4. It's in our Lutheran service book, so you may follow along up on the screen. This is a Lenten set for today. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children. and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the third Sunday in Lent. We read from Exodus 17. God provides water from a rock at Rephidim. Moses writes, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is taken from Romans chapter 5. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. St. Paul writes, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to the shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter. Jesus meets with the Samaritan woman. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where will you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. Yes, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I, who speak to you, am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? Or, why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of our Lord. Friends, may God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for in him we no longer thirst as we go into a lake of good water. Amen. My text is in the midst of it. The gospel lesson was long, but some great words of Jesus where he said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Friends, there's a story on the shores of one of the great lakes. In a town that's right along there, that there is a drinking fountain that it never stops, no matter how cold it gets. They have a means of getting rid of the water when it gets below freezing, but there's a drinking fountain that bubbles over with water. Teenagers that play in that neighborhood, even going back to the 1940s and 1950s, especially on weekends and in the summertime, would often run to this never-ending source of water. Occasionally, you'd hear somebody yelling out, boy, I'm dying of thirst. But they would run to the fountain, drink to the full, return to the routine with their thirst quenched. How nice it would be if all of God's people around the world would understand that our Savior provides that same water for everybody. That same water everywhere. That same water that has been placed for us at the price of his life. But the messages that come out from our Savior are so different. People somehow see and hear different things. And we got a chance to see that this morning where all of a sudden it's like the first thing the woman thinks of is, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? Jews and Samaritans don't talk to each other. Well, do we see things the same? I don't often make my 11 o'clock sermons interactive, but I need your help this morning. I'm going to put something up on the screen. I need you to tell me what word you see. What do you see? I've heard illusion. Is that what everybody saw? Okay, now I'm hearing it. This is one of those, and it truly is an optical illusion. Now, this is really a curious thing. You may have seen these before, but if you haven't, it is impossible for you to see both at the same time. And literally what you're going to have to do is if, regardless of what word, if you saw the word illusion, that's in all of the colored parts. What you got to do is you got to turn your head away, and then when you turn back to the screen, be focusing just on the white. And then when you focus on the white, then all of a sudden there you see it, optical. But that is how they sometimes do that. Yes, an optical illusion, but not everybody sees that. Let's do it again. Tell me what you see. Oh, I guess in both all my services, it always worked the same way. All of the first words that came out was good. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing it, evil. And you look at, and you got to do the same thing, because I'll tell you what, the screen that I'm looking at, my eyes, the first thing I saw again, right there in the middle of it, E-V-I-L. And unfortunately for each one of us now, we are getting closer, where sometimes all we see is good, but sometimes what we see is more like evil. I have one more for you. This one is actually a little simpler that tells us what our relationship in God's word should be. On the top, you see the word teach, but on the bottom, you see the word learn. And all it is a mirror image of each other. But for the person that is learning first, then they move up to one day where they can teach. And indeed, even as we can't see words, people can't always see the hand of God and the things that God has been doing. For example, in something as simple as what is called the miracle of water. Now, I know that if you're sitting here in church, you have a pretty good idea what I'm talking about. I'll get back to that in a minute. But if you are not in church at this moment, and somebody talks to you about, quote, the miracle of water, it is a phrase that is known around the world, the miracle of water. Do you know what they're referring to? They are referring to the fact that somehow water that previously had been undrinkable is now drinkable. You know, entire communities have, shall we say, died off simply because the water supply somehow got poisoned. And while, you know, we live just here, virtually right on the Gulf Coast, where we have access to so much water, it's unimaginable. You know, as we're getting ready to leave on the cruise tomorrow, now I have not yet calculated on where we're going to be taking our cruise, how deep the water will be at its deepest point on the route that we're going to take. I do know that here in the Gulf, there are places where it gets deeper than 6,000 feet. But on our last cruise that I took over Christmas, we had a moment where the water was somewhere in the vicinity of 13,000 feet deep. Now, it wasn't all that long, but that we were in that 13,000-foot depth. But in parts of the Caribbean, the water goes down as deep as about 25,000 feet. That's 5 miles. And yet, none of that water is drinkable. Places like California are constantly having water shortages. And why? Because even though they have access to all that water, and yes, the technology is there for them to convert that water into drinkable water, admittedly, it's an expensive process to get that done. On these ships, either they fill up in port with fresh water, or they convert it, or all of a sudden we're going to be on a cruise ship without any water. That wouldn't be much fun at all. But the miracle of water is what allows communities to be able to have fresh, drinkable water. It's a project that are being taken on more and more today. Now, of course, inside the church, when we talk about the miracle of water, we are talking about baptism and what God has done to that. Because we can't see the hand of God, even as some people can't really see that baptism is about the hand of God, not about their own hand, their own mind, or anything else, the hand of God. And in the same way, here we have this battle between the Jews and the Samaritans, or supposed battle. The problem is that, forget the Samaritans for a moment, the Jews themselves, in their various religious subsets, could not make up their mind what even God's word was back then. Some of them just believed in the first 5 books of the Bible. Some of the rest of them believed in all of the books of the Old Testament, and then maybe some other books that aren't in Scripture as well. And as for the Samaritans, people that, I apologize for using the word, but people that the Jews considered half-breeds, the nation of Judah was defeated by the Babylonians almost 600 years B.C., and the people were carried off into captivity. Some were left behind, and they settled in the area around what became known as Samaria, and they started intermarrying with the Babylonians, and so they were considered half-breeds, which is why the Jews wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. But Jews, Samaritans, supposedly all of them were teaching about the coming of the Messiah. You heard what the woman said. Well, I know that Messiah, at some point he's going to come and then he'll explain all things. But apparently none of them understood what the words of the coming of the Messiah was all about, and certainly about him having to die. Finally, we can't see the hand of God as leading us to where he wants us and needs us to go, uniting us as one. Now, I probably could have done this on a map, but I would have had to have had access to it. But Jesus' ministry took place in 2 primary places. Up to the north, there was the Sea of Galilee, and the areas around there where he did a lot of his early ministry. And then down here is places like Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Now, of course, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And getting from up there to down here shouldn't have been hard. The trouble is that by doing that, from going up by around Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee down to Jerusalem, you had to go straight through Samaria. So what the people a lot of times would do is up here in Galilee, with the Sea of Galilee up here, they would wait, and then they would go underneath the Sea of Galilee and take some boats where they could cross the Jordan River and then come down along the other side of the Jordan River. This was not part of Samaria. And then somewhere not far from Jerusalem, they would get on a road that would go that started mostly in the city of Jericho and then come on down to Bethany and then down to Jerusalem. It was on that road that Jesus celebrated Palm Sunday. Nevertheless, This time, Jesus did. Whether he was going north or south, its scriptures aren't even clear, but this time Jesus chose to go straight through Samaria, knowing that some good historical stuff like Jacob's Well was there, but also knowing that he was going to be working to unite all people to himself, women as well as men, Samaritans as well as Jews, as well as each and every one of us. And so, my friends, God can give us so much from so little. Now, we're not talking about necessarily the quantities of water, but we understand that just what our bodies are really all about. There was this story from another science fiction show that I've watched from time to time where the people that were in the ship were going and they spotted orbiting a planet, another one of their ships, and they tried to hail it and get somebody's attention over there, and there was nothing. And they finally went over to that other ship to see what was going on, and it's like, well, apparently there's nobody here. The whole crew is gone. It didn't take them long to realize, no, the crew was still there because they saw all these uniforms that were laying on the ground. And they also saw what was about 3 or 4 pounds of chemicals lying in and around those uniforms. And it was informed them that, you know what? The crew is still here. Because with those uniforms, once all of the water is taken out of the body, that's all you have left. Every single one of us, my friends, fearfully and wonderfully made, but also made with a lot of water. Well, unfortunately, we're also made up of something else. It's called sin. And thanks to sin, we start off with and as nothing. And indeed, we start off as dust and we will return to dust. That was the promise that was given by God following our disobedience in the Garden of Eden. However, thanks to sin, even with what God gives to us, and whether you're talking about back then or today, we find reasons to complain, to want more, to be selfish, to not get what it is that God is trying to do in our lives. It would be so easy to make our lives an entire life of nothing but pessimism, where all we see are the bad things in life and what it is that somehow God is giving a short shrift. But we also need to understand that God has a plan. Even if God had to make clear what his plan was by making clear some other things, as he did to this woman, when he reminded her that, oh yeah, he knows all about her, the good and, okay, the not so good. But he has a plan. And it involves a person receiving something so that they will never be thirsty again forever. Now, I don't often do a chemistry thing. I don't think most of our people like this, but I think I can get away with this one. Because, you know, water has a most basic chemical makeup. And that is H2O. And my friends, brings the miracle of faith through the miracle of water and the word, and through something as simple as H2O, he brings relief to the body and salvation to the soul. And through the sun, no longer do we have to travel great distances to obtain the water of life. You imagine that woman was probably approaching either with a jug on top of her head or one or two up on her shoulders. And that's the way water was carried. Towns were created in such a way so that they were always within a certain distance of drinkable water. And the towns could only grow to the size of how much the wells would be able to provide fresh water. We live in a time now where we have got cities that long ago grew past their ability to provide the kind of water that is needed in those cities. And you know, they might have to get creative or something like that, but Water, my friends, is everything in terms of our survival and in terms of the building of communities, but that's also true with the living water that our Savior gives us, in which we will never thirst again forever. Because he who knows all of our sins has come to remove them. And it doesn't matter. Make no mistake, our Savior knows about them, and that's why he died for them. And even as the woman at some point wanted to kind of change the topic and talk about worship, and finally our Lord was able to make clear, look, one day everything is going to be united. It's not going to be about worshiping at a particular place in a particular city. It's about worshiping the Lord right here, in spirit and in truth, and with the power of the Lord that goes with us in word and in sacrament, because he who removes all of our sins uses that water of life to draw all people to himself. What God does is saving us through the rebirth of through the Holy Spirit, and we remember these words. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And so, my friends, no, life does not end in death, but in faith in Jesus Christ. Even as Jesus, who is the resurrection of the dead, says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Life does not end in death, but life ending in death for one, and of course that word is capitalized, referring to the one. Incidentally, on a cross that we finally did get the purple drape out this week, a couple people, thank you for reminding us of that. And then he who speaks to us is the one. There was hardly ever a Jew that Jesus actually said those words to. When he was arrested and before Pontius Pilate, he started making those claims, but to the Samaritan woman, he made an admission he made very few other times, but he makes it to you. Yes, he is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And he is the one who gives us that which will allow us to never be thirsty forever. Lord Jesus Christ, you give to us a special water, a water that sustains us even as the water we drink sustains us. You sustain us from day to day. You sustain us in difficult times as well as in good, and you bless us, making your people as one. Be with us, no matter where it is we go, by land or by water. Take hold of our lives, take hold of our faith, take hold of our love for you, and make it useful. Make it go into the places where, again, we can also share that same wonderful truth that others also need never be thirsty again forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so then, for those people that are going to be on tomorrow's cruise, what I'm going to do, I don't need you to do anything. You can stay where you are, but whoever's going to be cruising tomorrow, I would like to ask you to stand. So let's take a look at who's cruising tomorrow, okay? Because I know we have a few of us here. Oh, my, look at us here. Yep, we have a few here. And look, I'm grateful because we have had at least some at every one of our worship services. And so, friends, beloved in the Lord, at this time, as we prepare ourselves for a special journey, a journey that's going to involve a lot of fun and fellowship, but also a journey of faith, let's hear the words of the Lord. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm sure of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, then, we remember to commit our ways to the Lord, to trust in him, and he will act. for he has been our dwelling place. Even as we go, my friends, on behalf and with the blessings of Faith Lutheran Church, we go truly with faith in our hearts, with faith on our lips, and with faith in everything that we do and that we are going to share. And so I'm going to ask each of you, do you promise, even as we are called to be faithful to the Lord, to let the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the mission and ministry of Faith Lutheran Church be with us in all that we do to the glory of God? If so, answer, we will with the help of God. I now address this to the members of the congregation. Friends, on a cruise ship, at least for now, it still is very difficult to be able to do things like post daily updates to our website. If we can find a way to do it, we will. But even if we have to wait until we get back and be able to post some of the things that we've done with pictures and so forth, this is indeed that has got a spiritual aspect to it. As we're going to be directing ourselves to the study of God's Word and some other things, spending a little bit of time each day on it. And so I now ask each of you, will you remember these people that are going on this cruise and pray for them? And remember also that we are part of the mission and ministry of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and a Faith Lutheran Church that we send these people with our blessings. If so, answer, we will with the help of God. May God's blessings go with all of you in his grace and peace and mercy as we go forth in his name and in the faith that he has given to us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the blessings you have bestowed in the midst of a special journey that we take starting tomorrow. May each of our people be examples of faithful devotion to your word, loving service to others. By your grace, may we be an encouragement to so many. Support and strengthen them. Grant your peace and blessedness to them now and when they arrive back home. Keep them safe in whatever they do through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So go in peace and joy, and the Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and bless and strengthen you, keeping you safe throughout this week. Amen. Rather than have our cruise participants be seated, I'm going to have the rest of you stand as we now confess our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings, and if you've not filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. May be seated. Please note the special prayer response that is up on our service screen. And throughout these days in Lent, let us pray to the Lord in repentant faith, beseeching him to have mercy and to hear us. Loving Father, we thank you that even while we were still sinners, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to rise for us. We rejoice in this gospel news and ask that you would grant your Holy Spirit as we share this good news wherever it is that we go, by land and by sea, with community and with world. O Lord, throughout these days of Lent, have mercy and hear our prayer. Gracious Father, your Son brought all people together as one and showed love and compassion for sinners and outsiders like the woman at the well. Grant that we may show mercy to those who may be looked down on by others, that we may care for their needs of body and spirit, and show that there is indeed a light, that they too may never be thirsty again forever. O Lord, throughout these days of Lent, Providing Father, at your invitation, we pray on behalf of both our church and its leaders. As we gather together today for a special congregational assembly, remind each and every one of us that even in the midst of the business that must be conducted from our congregation, that we go forth in your will and following the guidance that you have given us as you shine the light of your love to direct the paths that you would have us go. Bless our leaders, all and all of those that serve in our midst. Be with each and every one of us that we may be people of the word, fed by that word, forgiven in that word, strengthened by that word, and blessed to be a blessing to others through that word. O Lord, throughout these days of Lent, merciful Father, your Son healed the sick and restored those who were broken. We humbly ask that you would grant relief and healing to those who are suffering. We have a continued prayer on behalf of Jackson and Abigail, the twins that were born very, very, very early, that are starting to strengthen but are still in need of our prayers. Also on behalf of those from our congregation who are sick, homebound, facing procedures, times of treatment, or also facing hospice facilities, and things that sometimes are unknown even to them. We also now lift up from our own life someone that is in need of the special love and mercy and strength that you give, that we name before you now in a moment of silence. According to your will, restore them. And during their time of affliction, grant them your grace. O Lord, throughout these days of Lent, have mercy and hear our prayer. For into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and your promise to hear us. For the sake of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, your Son Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes at the bottom of page 8 with the closing collect. Let us pray together. Almighty God, source of all power and renewer of health and life, your Son, Jesus Christ, came as the one who gives life-giving water, which wells up to eternal life. Draw us ever closer to you and quench our deep thirst for salvation by supplying us with living water that will quench our great thirst for time and for eternity. This we ask in the name of Jesus, who offered himself as our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Real quick, for those of you that occasionally worship with us on Saturday night, the crews will be back in time for that, but our Faith Factor people who are kind of the ones helping to lead this cruise, they will not be a part of next Saturday night's worship. So the Saturday night service will reflect a lot closer to what we do here on Sunday morning, just for next week only on Saturday night. So, but may God's peace be with all of you, and Pastor Keller, who is here at our late service, he will be conducting services for our Wednesday night worship. So friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.